This is the Cube Show on demand, presented by Ump Sports. Listen live weekdays 6 to 10. Get loud.
I really don't understand your question. I don't know if I can't hear or you guys can't talk in the mic or whatever.
Get crazy.
You go find them, you throw your arms around them, you give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
Get nuts.
Get up, baby. Get up. Oh, yeah, it's gone.
It's the Cube Show.
This is that All Born Radio.
I'm a good person.
Man, y'all take it easy down there on the off, baby.
God wants us to win the World Championship.
You're doing it wrong. You're doing the wrong things.
Is anybody else tired or is it just me?
Hey, legitimate question, though.
Okay.
I'm drunk right now.
Wow.
Another one!
I?
And now, Cole Kublick.
He is bad Auburn man.
Good morning, North Alabama. Welcome in, Cube Show. Glad you're with us. What a weekend of college football, and it's not even over. That might be the best part. Where do we start? Where do we even begin with week one college football in the books? So many things. So many predictions gone wrong.
Yankees beat Red Sox. You know, the huge. The huge we talk about.
That's Arkie Shea, producer of the show, program director of Ump Sports.
What's up, Cole? Welcome back.
And it's good to be back in.
How many days were you on the road? Like six?
Five or six.
Dang, man. That is tiring.
Left Tuesday morning, back.
We've discussed
Sunday
this
morning.
It's underrated. Exhausting just traveling. Even though you're not really doing anything, you're constantly moving around and your body's being it's your body clock. You know?
Yeah, and he's listener of the show Trophy Nuts is at Trophy Nuts via Twitter. It was funny how many people this is kind of a sidebar. You know, we filmed the Tiger Walk thing pregame for the Auburn game. Yeah. So I was walking around a lot. How many people came up and introduced themselves as listeners to the show?
Wow.
And I'm like, you got to give me your Twitter handle, man. I don't know who you are. And they would. Like, one guy was like, he goes, hey, my buddy Brent Romine listens to the show.
Yeah.
I live in Decatur.
Spike
I'm like,
the
Spike
Tiger.
The Tiger. I don't know who Brent Romine is, though.
Spike the Tiger, baby.
I know who that guy is.
Shout out to Spike the Tiger.
Yeah. But, you know, Trophy Nuts tweets in a lot, and he works, I guess he works in Korea a lot, and he goes back and forth to Asia. And he always talks. I see him tweeting and Instagramming a lot about how just flying, just getting on a plane and flying, how much that dehydrates you. Because he'll drink like a big Pedialyte before he flies. And it's true, man. Just getting on airplanes everything else you mentioned is true. Not sleeping as well in hotels, which usually is not a problem for me because I don't have kids waking up. So it's actually kind of nice. But, you know, the schedule that we have. And for me, I didn't think about this until this weekend, Arkie. And I started, I remembered and I told Tom Hart this. I said, you remember when we had the BYU game last year? He's like, yeah. And I remembered that on Thursday night, because that game kicked off at like 8:30 Central, if you remember. Friday night game, Mississippi State at BYU.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was a late one.
And I remember on Thursday night, we went to dinner and we kind of had a meeting. When we went and met with Mullen as soon as they got in town. He said, well, I'm staying up late tonight. I was like, what? He goes, I'm going to make myself stay up.
Yeah,
I was like,
well, Provo party, baby.
I was like, I'm tired. Woo! I'm going to bed. And he said, well, no, I kind of want to at least, because I'm on Eastern time and this is so different, I want to try to get my body a little bit acclimated to this. And I started thinking, doing night games this year is total reverse psychology for my body clock.
It is.
So that part of it, too, for me is a little bit weird because
about 3.5 hours after four hours. What SEC Network games usually at 3 o'clock. That their game is like three. It's not 2:30 because 2:30 is like CBS. So it's
3:30.
Got like 3.5 hours difference between starting being on the old television.
Well no, because we did mostly noon games last year, so
okay,
six,
well then
six and a half
six
hours.
Then, so yeah. Even if you would get the mid-tier,
but
the
it's
mid-card
just
game.
Finishing that game around 10:30, 10:45.
Totes different.
Already past my bedtime. Then I got the adrenaline going, so
like, oh, I mean, you can't just go straight to sleep after that. You can't.
Because we were debating Saturday. I'm like, do I go home? And then I'm going to get home at like 1:30 or 2. The kids are going to be getting up at 5:30 or 6. What's the that just seems pointless. Well, then end up just laying awake in my hotel room until 12:30.
Yeah.
It's like I just couldn't fall asleep.
Because the good thing is that adrenaline, if you did want to drive, would carry you for the first hour and a half of that drive.
Yeah, probably to about Birmingham, and then
you're going
to
be sleepy for an hour and a half. So good thing you just sort of stayed.
But you're right. Just hotels, rental cars, getting to the desk, getting back, sitting on a plane. You're never comfortable truly on a plane. But, yeah, it was a long 5 days, but it was an awesome 5 days. I mean, two games week one, I couldn't ask for anything more. It was exceptional. Pretty cool to get around the Arkansas program, talk to Coach Bielema and some of those guys, and then the Auburn program and talk to some of those coaches and see some of those players up close and personal. And it was a lot of fun. Being able to do Tiger Walk was just, man, it's one of the coolest things I've done in a long time, just because it just brought back so many memories. So cool to see so many people that I knew that I didn't even remember from school and fans that I had met and didn't remember. Just it was pretty special.
I think the biggest question everyone wants to know that we've been waiting to get a chance to really talk to you about when you got back in studio, what's up with Florida A&M wearing like the same color number and jersey? That is weird.
When you heard Tom talking about it in the broadcast,
they
it's like
did not care if they
were
going
to
lose.
This? And I actually said it in warm-ups as soon as I got out there and kind of got my mic up and running and everything. I said, Tom, can you guys hear me? And he said, yeah. I said, have you seen these numbers yet? And he said, what numbers? Like, because they, I mean, you can't really see. You couldn't, I mean, I had trouble sort of distinguishing some of them down on the field. So I can imagine up in the booth they had trouble determining who was who. But I thought it was a little bit overkill to do it every quarter. Couldn't you just say we're taking two timeouts away?
Yeah, I feel like that would, the ruling of that is like, all right, in case they change their jersey mid-quarter.
If you brought backups, we're going to give you three more chances to make this change. Otherwise, we're going to have to announce it.
They come out in the second half, same jerseys.
Oh.
Same jerseys. What are the odds of that?
Gotcha.
They
never dropped a flag on it, though, either.
Do you think they didn't know the rule or like they didn't care? I'm of the opinion they didn't care because they really liked those uniforms and they were on TV, and they're not used to being a showcase type of game.
They're Nike, right? I can't remember, but I think they're Nike.
Would you even bring a backup if you knew you were breaking the rule? Maybe
I don't think I don't think you have the space or really the funds. I mean, probably the only backups they would have had would have been a different color.
Like 80 jerseys, it's not that much space.
I don't think they didn't care from the standpoint of we know this is not legal. I think they probably thought they were pushing the envelope and just didn't feel like it would be called.
Maybe they would. They'd call the refs bluff, like, dare you to say this. And then right after the kickoff, they're like, yep, illegal uniforms.
Do you think it was an Arkansas thing where before the game they said, we're going to need that to be flagged? I mean, because I didn't hear any of those guys talking about it. And I mean, Brett's usually not like that. Remember, I had Arkansas Nichols a few years ago. When Bielema offered the coach at halftime to have a running clock in the second half and the guy turned it down, Bielema was like, well, guess what? We're going to keep scoring. And they did.
This is your chance. I'll tell you what I did think. My favorite part about that entire thing is the referee coming out and saying after the kickoff, illegal uniforms. Because if I think illegal uniforms, I don't think just a color clash. Like, I think more like there's, like,
something's giving them an advantage.
Hidden weapons. they got some sticky tape or something.
Grease on their jerseys.
Throw it right at my one right here. I got some glue right here.
Velcro. So, yeah.
Illegal uniforms sounds like a really harsh way to put their numbers aren't exactly contrasting. And it was good to see the rule that, because I was like, hey, it's not technically like that, you know, it's not really the same, exact same color because there's a border around it.
Yeah, there was a little bit.
And the rules, like, doesn't matter.
No.
Doesn't matter how much the border contrast. Has to be a different
entire
color.
Number. So. Alabama gets a big win over Florida State.
Are we going to talk about that today?
We're going to mention it.
We're not going to talk about illegal uniforms the whole time?
Not the whole time. Nice win for Auburn. What happened with Texas A&M last night?
Oh,
whoa,
my
Nelly.
God.
The
Everybody
SEC overall
takes exposed on that.
Yeah, SEC overall pretty good weekend, really and truly. So, who's the best team in Texas right now?
Well, could be Houston. They haven't played yet.
Solid point. TCU maybe. You know, they got Arkansas this weekend, so that's a big one. Clemson, a gigantic win as they get set for Auburn this weekend. So,
by the way, they didn't play at all in that game against Akron.
Yeah, they didn't have to.
Like, it was quick, fast, in a hurry. They're like, yeah, this game's out of hand.
I heard some guy towards the end of the Auburn game, I had some guys tell me, boy, Clemson looked good today. I'm like, do we really know?
Well, you can look like Auburn looked in their opener against Georgia Southern. By the way, did not know Georgia Southern was that bad. They were not good. In fact, we'll talk about it more. I was like, hey, where's this triple option? they come out not running a triple option. You're like, oh, what's going on here?
Yeah,
they
tried
to trick us, and they went back to it.
And that was something we talked to Kevin Steele about. You know, they had no idea really what offense to prepare for. Because you had a school, a program that has built its reputation on the triple option. Then you had a guy coming. They got away from it with Willie Fritz and went more spread. Then you had a guy who came in after Willie Fritz and tried to run it again but did it out of the gun. Then you had a guy that was the old Bobby Johnson principles coming from Georgia Tech, seemed like he was going to get back to it, but they didn't, kind of like what you said. They were in the gun. They didn't know that. They didn't go old school traditional triple options, so they didn't know that. So there were a lot of different things about that offense that sort of threw Kevin Steele and his staff off. But I was still impressed with the way Auburn's defensive line linebackers played. I thought they tackled well. I thought they were aggressive. And I think that front's going to be pretty good. So it's a lot to talk about today. 866-485-9867 if you'd like to get in. 866-485-WUMP. If you want to get into the phones, you can also tweet into the show, at Cube Show, at Cole Kublik, at R. Cliche, at Sports. You can tweet in. A lot of different ways to be involved. You can tweet in because 10 after every hour, we get to 10 after tweets brought to you by First Family Mortgage. Go to 1FMC.com.
Bring me the tweets!
Bobby Barnett tweets in, at Cube Show, we going to do this, then we going to do this. Hashtag worry about Buccaneers. He also tweets, has the, quote, someone needs to be fired so they can get Herman website been created.
Is that the name you want to go after right now? Maybe check out the recently inflated Chip Kelly.
Wow.
He looked a little bigger than I remembered him.
He's been chilling.
Oh, listen, as a fat guy, I have no problems with being a fat guy.
I mean, is that the name, though?
It's the name I saw on Twitter a bunch of times.
Yes, I was going to say, I saw it a lot on social media last night.
Hey,
every day should be Saturday.
Real quick, you said on social media. Let's just be fair. I'm not Facebooking looking for these for the comments during the game. I'm Instagramming.
Yeah, I didn't see Snapchat calling for Kevin Sumlin's job. Every day should be Saturday. Tweet 7 hours ago. All caps. They blew a 34-point lead.
That was so bad. You got to fire Kevin Sumlin before he gets to the handshake. That was so bad. And I know Nick Starkle went out. And Nick Starkle, he wasn't overwhelming as far as his completion percentage. But he was hitting big plays. Plus, he had two running backs that were going for a trillion yards each. I mean, both of them. It's the first time since 2011 they had two running backs go for over 100 yards in a game. And one of the guys went for over 180 in the first half.
I'm glad you mentioned those running backs. Gabe Bach, TexAgs.com. We've had him on the show. At Gabe Bach tweets 7 hours ago, note, Travion Williams, 2. Keith Ford, 1. Combined for 3 carries in the fourth quarter. They had a combined 40 for 317 and 5 touchdowns in the game.
Well, the thing was to build the lead with the running game and then milk the clock with the passing game. That was their strategy. It's a little odd, I understand. But then you got
also other than odd, doesn't work.
You bring in DeMond because of the injury, and at one point he's like 2 of 13.
I think he started 0 of 9.
Oh, God.
I mean, the kid's a super athlete. I mean, the guy, he has a chance to do some really special things one day, but he appeared to be ill-prepared, number one, and just not ready to be a college quarterback.
And here's the thing. There was a lot of throws that he made that were just a little off. Like, looking for Christian Kirk a couple times, had him. Like, the routes that they were running, Christian Kirk was running some just stupid routes last night. And he was getting behind everybody for UCLA. Just could not connect with him.
I'd have found a way to get that guy the ball a little bit more.
He tried.
If you're going to throw it in the fourth quarter, like the third down before their final play, the fourth down, you saw Mon just kind of heave it up to Christian Kirk and is like, overthrow my 10 yards. I was like, at least he's going in the right direction. Because that's the guy that I'd throw it up to.
You know who I would throw it up to? Anybody that was not named Kellen Mond. Do not let him make the... They, on a 4th and 10 with like 30 seconds left in their opener, a chance to try to come back, which is ridiculous to start off with. And they're calling a quarterback draw? They really thought they were going to catch him off guard enough to be able to start that drive.
And he pretty much had it. If he ducks his head, instead of trying to spin, I think he gets it.
It's crazy. It's such bad play calling that happened in that fourth quarter. Why wouldn't you give... You had two guys combined for 300-plus rushing yards.
5 touchdowns.
Why not hand it to one of them a couple times? If nothing else, to kill a full minute off the clock.
Bill Stewart at Beastie7693 Bill tweets at Cole Kubik. Really appreciate your insight and ability to laugh at yourself and Bama fans. War Eagle. Listen, this whole NC State thing has been hilarious this weekend. The amount of people who are just really, really mad at me. I whiffed. I swung and I missed. It's okay. I'll miss again.
I want to see on Wednesday if that loss affects where you have NC State.
It probably will.
In your college. We'll see. We'll update our rankings. We'll see if that adjusts. Because, you know, here's the thing. And getting off NC State a little bit. When I was looking at sort of trying to figure out a general storyline to think about with the SEC, I thought that there were a handful of teams against pretty good teams and some bad ones that were playing really good defense. And then that storyline kind of went away with Texas A&M. I was like, hey, because Texas A&M was swarming Josh Rosen.
I see where you're going, though, and it's true.
Alabama played great. Auburn played insanely good against Georgia Southern. I wouldn't talk about Florida.
Not Missouri.
That team. Oh, God. There's so many stories. What is Missouri? I don't even know what to say.
Georgia's defense looked good.
Missouri, South Carolina this week. 200 or 300 points scored.
Give me a lot. Because Missouri might not have played great defense, but that offense looked next level.
Yeah. Threw for what? Seven touchdowns?
Yeah.
6 touchdowns? School record? Tied a school record?
Yeah.
Did Drew Lock?
Bruce Feldman at Bruce Feldman CFB tweets, can confirm that hashtag FSU quarterback DeAndre Francois is out for the season with a knee injury. Sources tell at SI Now, Tallahassee Democrat first reported.
Well, this was my second big storyline from the weekend, which were big injuries. DeAndre Francois, Jake Eason hurting his knee against Appalachian State.
That hasn't been
Alabama
talked about.
Losing 4 linebackers.
That Jacob Eason thing has...
2 permanently.
Has he even put that out?
I know the last I read that it was going to be like probably a couple of weeks. But then again, that's not officially from Georgia.
Right, but it's almost no one even talking about the fact that he really even left the game.
Yeah. And, Jake Fromm had to basically do the entire game himself. I mean, at App State, he looked pretty darn good against an App State team that we thought would be, I don't know, somewhat interesting.
Matt Zinitz, who we'll have on the show at 9:20 this morning, tweets, sources... Alabama linebacker Christian Miller suffered a biceps tear last night and expected to miss the rest of the year. Quotes that tweet 15 hours ago with, in addition, fellow outside linebacker Terrell Lewis tore a ligament in his elbow and is out for the year, per sources.
God. Having to quote a tweet with another major injury that's going to be... Oh, God.
He then tweets, regarding Rashawn Evans, I'm told his groin injury is just a strain, nothing serious. But that's one of those weird things similar to Kerryon Johnson with the hamstring that just nags and nags and nags. It's very...
Nick Starkle hurt. Kerryon Johnson hurts. Not to mention Auburn had guys suspended. 2 of them will be back this week. 1 of them will not. One of them's the quarterback that was suspended. Were you okay.
This guy just tweeted me just now, 2 minutes ago. Jeffrey Watson, at WattJ86, at Cole Kublik. How's the duck taste? Emoticon chicken, emoticon chicken, emoticon devil face, emoticon laughing, crying face. He has a South Carolina Gamecock logo as his profile pic. For some reason, the South Carolina fans thought that I went against them with my NC State in the playoff pick, and they were all angry at me.
It kind of initiates them to be.
Doesn't that kind of help legitimize you a little bit more?
Oh, it's just like...
You should be thanking me.
It's like when Indiana fans were chanting overrated to Ohio State when they were beating them. You're like, why would you do that, dude? That really kind of takes away from what you're doing to them, isn't it? These guys really suck, but we're beating them, so that's good for us. Cole, I have so many questions for you today.
Okay.
I have so many questions. Like Bobby Barnett wants to ask, wouldn't it be nice if Saban left some coaching notes for Jones on the chalkboard at the bins?
I guess, yeah.
That's not my real question. I mean, that's his question. But I have a ton of questions. Just a ton. Because what we have here is a big fat giant weekend of insanity that has happened. And I got some great audio from some of these games. In fact, there's a really funny clip that I found from Tom Herman after his press conference. Oh, my God. So many stories. So Tom Herman was asked, this is great, and I'll get to it coming up. He was asked, what are you saying to yourself after you have all these issues with punts being blocked, field goals being blocked, return for touchdowns? What are you saying to yourself? You know what he said?
What's that?
Why can't we get out of our own way? As a head coach who takes a second and is like, what's wrong with us? Why can't we stop this? Oh, it's great. It's great audio. This tweet on 10 After Tweets, which is brought to you by First Family Mortgage, comes from Brent Musburger. Tweets 8 hours ago, but sadly for many, the Bruins don't cover. Good teams win. Great teams cover. VSIN, baby.
Randy Cross, at Randy Cross FB. I wanted to get to this since you just mentioned that chalkboard, or since Bobby Barnett did. Randy Cross tweets, quit whining plus win games. Butch Jones says Georgia Tech gained advantage with practice in Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
That is true. That is a huge advantage. Have you had a chance to look at any of that game yet? Like, not just I'm kind of okay with Butch Jones saying this, only because the first thing I thought of when I tuned in was, wow, that looks like they're playing a day game. That is definitely
so bright.
Has some interesting lighting there.
I'll tell you one thing that I noticed from that game, and I didn't see many television snaps of that game. They had it on in Jordan-Hare Stadium a little bit at halftime and in between quarters. And then we got out of there a little bit before, so I saw a little bit in the truck and then a couple snaps late in the hotel, not many. But I felt like almost every snap that I saw, you saw a player somewhere on the field looking up. Just walking around looking up. And I'm thinking, it's definitely distracting.
Mm-hmm.
And I can imagine coaches trying to get players' attention, and they're like, oh, man, that video board goes all the way around.
Advantage Tech so far for tonight. Let's see if Tennessee can get a practice in there.
But this is just one of those things that Butch Jones says that's probably real, but people just don't want to hear.
Because I do think it's a bit of an advantage to try to get used to the lights where the punts are coming down from. I was thinking about that when I was watching a couple of guys return punts. It's like, this is a little bit of a different look.
Yeah, just the feel of being in there. There's no doubt it's a little bit of an advantage. Now, is it enough to make a difference in winning or losing a game? Probably not.
No. But when Butch Jones says it, everyone wants to yell. Kind of rightfully so. He's kind of put himself in that spot.
Welcome back in, Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump. Back on a Monday morning after week one of college football, but we still have Georgia Tech and Tennessee tonight, which is huge. Excited about that one. Every morning, we like to let you know how sports sounded the night before or over the weekend. Before we do that,
I want to tell you about our friends at Valley Equipment Rental. Head over to valleyequipmentrents.com, valleyequipmentrents.com, or call 256-964-6081. Ross and Tanner and the guys are going to help you out with any piece of equipment that you need for just a project around the house or at your construction site. Maybe you need the riding troll machine, the 8-foot for an industrial job, the John Deere bulldozer, 450K, 80 horsepower, 18,700-pound job. Pressure washers. You got the new Tobehind 3500 PSI, the 2700, 3000, 4000 cold water pressure washers, also the 3000 PSI hot water pressure washers, tillers, stump grinders, and more, all available at Valley Equipment Rental on South Memorial Parkway, right there near Airport Road. Go to valleyequipmentrents.com or call 256-964-6081. Let's hear how sports sounded over the weekend.
Time for the Cube Show early morning audible.
Chubb's going to town. Touchdown, I think. Yeah, Chubby time, baby. Grandma, get out the rye bread and mustard. It is grand salami time.
He's at the 50, the 40, the 35.
Yes!
He will score.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a touchdown. Kansas City.
Yes, Cole Kublik, Saturdays are for the underdogs. And before I get to some Alabama highlights, I did bring it up at the first segment of the show, so I want to go ahead and pay this thing off. Tom Herman was a 20.5-point favorite over Maryland.
Ooh.
That's a lot of points. And I don't know who keeps getting fooled by Texas. It seems like Las Vegas, every AP writer that ranked them at all in their poll, thinking that they were going to be able to change things year one, day one, immediately. But nope, that wasn't the case. Texas just being what we call post-McCoy Texas, or as I like to call it, post-Eric Anders Texas and post-Marcel Darius Texas. This audio I was telling you about just a few moments ago, I'll give you the let you hear the question, and then Tom Herman's rare coach being honest answer.
Tom, specific moment early in the fourth quarter, their freshman quarterback converts 3rd and 19, and then you get a horse collar penalty there. And I'm wondering, what's going through your mind when a obviously winnable game is slipping away?
Just, why can't we get out of our own way?
Yikes.
That's
wow.
Kind of where they are at Texas right now.
You hear times about everything with college football, I think we just look to Nick. I think there should be like a Nick Saban thesaurus for college football. Like everything that we talk about, like you go reference how Nick Saban handled it, and then you look at what you're doing. We talk about culture changes at certain places, and you got to change the culture. I think that is exactly what that reference is right there. Just guys that don't know how to do things to win games. They don't understand little things. They don't understand not being selfish on the field at certain points in the game. Just how to win games. There's a big difference in understanding how to win games and how to not lose games. And Tom Herman's dealing with that right now. He's got some guys that don't know how to not lose games.
Yeah. There are a lot of guys who just really the exact same Texas from last year when you talk about the defense. Just poor tackling, poor angles. A lot of what we saw from UCLA in the first three quarters yesterday. Just
I don't know what to make of that game last night.
It was just trash, man. It's just trash how Texas played. And
now listen, I'll say this though.
It was a wacky game with all the special teams touchdowns. I mean, it was a little wacky, but there's a lot missing in Texas right now as far as fundamentals and the guys just knowing how to be able to complete plays.
I also think DJ Durkin's a really good coach, and people need to start talking about that.
That's why I was surprised there's a 3-touchdown favorite in this game was Texas.
The
from
logo.
A team for Vegas?
Yeah. I think it happens sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes.
Because Maryland was a 6-win team last year. You know, not a 6-win team? Texas.
True. I'm with you.
It's wild. It's wild to me. But let's go ahead and give you what y'all want. Last night's game in Pasadena. Don't worry, Bama fans. We're getting there. You guys know you're good. Ladies and gentlemen, what?
Rosen just might do this at the 10. He fakes a spike. He now throws to the end zone. Twisting catch. Touchdown!
Touchdown!
43 seconds to go. UCLA has tied it They can take the lead with a J.J. Molson extra point.
Okay, before I finish this call, didn't you miss college football calls?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Touchdown! Touchdown! 43 seconds to go. UCLA has tied it. They can take the lead with a J.J. Molson extra point. Molson's extra point for the lead. Flintoff will hold. Waiting on the snap. There it is. Ball down, ball up. Ball is in there. It's good. It's 45-44. It's a miracle in Pasadena.
You know what was wild about that game? I think we were talking about it a little bit before the show. Man, when that momentum train starts getting out of control one way, it is really hard to turn that thing.
It is one of the most impactful momentum swings I've ever seen in a college game.
And I'm not sure I even know where it happened. I mean, it was one drive.
I think it's when Starkle went out.
Yeah, but even then they were still up 5 touchdowns.
Oh, yeah. But I think that's where the gas tank hit empty. You know, you can drive around with 0 mph for a while on the little digital monitor if you have that kind of car. Right. You're like, oh, I can get away with this. I can do it. I still have some. It's not necessarily zero. They were on zero and thought they could keep going. And instead of filling the tank, which would have been dumped to Christian Kirk, hand off to those elite tailbacks a lot.
That I feel like once it's 44-10 and you see Josh Rosen come up with a quick touchdown, you should say, okay, let's see what Tim Ford here can do.
Reevaluate.
Let's get some Travion Williams carries going, and let's nothing else. Bang out 90 seconds on the clock. Do that a couple times. Maybe at the end, we're still hanging on by our teeth.
I agree.
Speaking of hanging on from their teeth, that's what happened in Charlotte over the weekend. Cole, I don't really like to play this while you're here, but it would be a disservice to all our listeners if we didn't. It's Deebo Samuel from 39 yards out from his quarterback, Jake Bentley.
Ball's being in motion, fakes, Bentley, got a roll right, he's in trouble, gets away from one man, cranks up, throws downfield. Deebo's running for it, diving, caught! Touchdown! Touchdown, Deebo Samuel! Are you kidding me? A busted, broken play, and Deebo runs to the far corner, and Jake Bentley put it on the numbers, 39 yards. Oh, my goodness.
That was crazy. Deebo Samuel also had a kickoff return for a touchdown in that game. Wild to me that you're talking about a team in NC State that over double, getting closer to the neighborhood of tripling the yardage of South Carolina. 99 plays run for NC State, and they were having to come back at the end to try to tie it. Boy, man, we knew this defense wasn't going to be great for South Carolina, but you look at those numbers and you think NC State puts a whooping on South Carolina. And instead, a couple of really big plays for South Carolina, not only win them that game, but keep them in it, not only early, but then help them sort of hold on late.
Two things I learned from this weekend. My two big takeaways from opening weekend. Number one, special teams are critical. I mean, you mentioned that Texas game.
Yeah. Blocked field goals.
NC State.
Punts, yeah.
Florida, Michigan. Special teams.
Bama, Florida State.
Special teams are critical. And number two, we don't give coaching, especially when it comes to the staff, enough credit. Coaching proved to be a big difference in a lot of games this weekend.
Yeah, we will talk about it when we have some comments from Nick Saban later on in the show that just the scouting and the game planning, Alabama was on point. And in fact, what Florida State did was not a lot different than what they were expecting. But we will get to that in a moment. Let's get to actually some play calls for that. Cole, I don't know if you knew about this, but Calvin Ridley's good.
Here's Jalen looking right, throws long, has a man behind the defense. It's open, it's caught, it's a touchdown, Calvin Ridley. And Alabama takes the lead, 53 yards, a beauty of a play. And what a route that was run by Calvin Ridley for an Alabama touchdown.
Yeah, Alabama getting up ahead 10-7, and they would, of course, add 11 more points onto it. But the special teams, as we spoke about, how about a little bit of love for Minkah Fitzpatrick?
blocking him a little field goal.
Now a field goal try blocked by Alabama. 37-yard try by Aguayo, blocked by the Tide. And Alabama's going to run it back. The clock will expire unless they can keep it going here. Here's to the 40. Here's to the 45. The half will end on the run back. But Minka Fitzpatrick came up the middle and blocked the field goal try.
Let's be fair. You were expecting that field goal to be returned, right? That's what I was expecting in that course. Moment. Because that thought that was going to be the moment where you suffocate and put the game away at the end of the half. And to Florida State's credit, they came out in the third quarter with a pretty good game plan, some good offensive plays. It wasn't until late in the third quarter that basically it all caught up to them. All of the paying attention by Alabama, stupid paying attention in the coaching film room as Mr. D. Harris comes in and changes the outlook of the game.
Trayvon Diggs deep for Alabama, back at his own 36-yard line. Should be pretty decent field goal position. Bama blocks it. Bama blocks it. Flags are down. Bama blocks it. The ball is covered by the Tide at the 6, but there is a flag down. It was Damian Harris who blocked it.
It's not offside.
Let's see.
At the line of scrimmage.
If Bama was offside, it's going to be Florida State ball. The flag came down. Let's listen to referee Michael Cannon out of the Big Ten.
Formation, offense, more than four in the backfield. It's declined. First down.
It'll be Alabama ball on the illegal formation.
And Alabama suffocates the rest of the way. You talked about it, Cole, before we go to break. It's just the freaking coaching, man. They were all over it from moment one was the Alabama staff. And the coaching so important, the players' level, and the biggest takeaway I had from this game, both these defenses are fast. Oh, my God, they're fast.
This might be, I said it last night on Twitter after I went back and was able to study it. I think this is the best front Bama plays all year.
Boy, it'd be hard to beat that front at this point.
Because the linebackers played better than I anticipated. And I don't, like, you. I mean, you look at Auburn, I think
they could develop into something.
But
really
Auburn doesn't
good
have
like
the
that.
Edge, guys.
No,
Auburn doesn't have
now.
Sweat and burns, and they're not going to have sweat or burns the way.
They have effective players that could cause some damage, but not just the pure speed rush guys.
Yeah, and, I mean, LSU's got some guys, and Arden Key would be a total difference maker if he was back and impactful, but I don't know if they have across the board. I mean, Derek Nnadi, I think, is the best nose guard in college football when as far as doing what he's asked to do, so. We'll take a break, come back, get physical next. Welcome back in, Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Yump. Every morning we like to keep you up to date on who's healthy, who's hurt, who's banged up, who's bouncing back. We get physical.
I get no doubt.
Kerryon Johnson, Auburn tailback, pulled hamstring. Saw him leave the game in the first half against Georgia Southern. Hated to see it because he was having a nice game.
He was.
He was doing
man.
Some nice things, a couple big runs.
And they were needing him early.
And had that thing taped and iced, and his status will be questionable moving forward. Rashawn Evans, growing injury, status questionable moving forward. He's got a couple weeks to get that thing taken care of. It shouldn't be a big issue here over the next 2 weeks. Christian Miller and Terrell Lewis, both Alabama linebackers who will be out for the season. Christian Miller, a biceps tear, expected to be out the rest of the year. Terrell Lewis, a torn ligament in his elbow, expected to be out for the year as well. So some tough losses there. Florida State quarterback DeAndre Francois with a knee injury, expected to miss the rest of the season. Jacob Eason left Georgia's game with a knee injury. That status still uncertain. Does not appear to be really good, but you've got Jake Fromm who came in and apparently competed in the spring and fall, so Georgia may be okay there. But reality is the injury bug is affecting teams here early in the season. As we saw Nick Starkle go out for Texas A&M. Last night.
And Felipe Franks got, he was just bad. So then we brought Malik Zaire. Oh, man, just, okay, God. I don't remember a rash of really important injuries happening so soon in the season in a long time. Maybe only because it's more important when you talk about Terrell and Christian for Alabama, because it is Alabama and we talk about them so much. But those were guys that were supposed to be. Listen, that linebacker depth, you gotta find some guys. Maybe you don't play linebackers this week.
Right.
Maybe you just play all defensive backs and a couple. Maybe one defensive end.
Well, and two, you look at.
Keep Raekwon Davis in because he played well.
Also, on an Auburn note, Kyle Davis, Cam Petway, Sean White, not available for week one. Sean White will continue to be out. Kyle Davis, Cam Petway will be back against Clemson.
Just a wild, wild week to open it up. Cole, I'm going to take you to Danvers, Massachusetts real quick, where a library is reminding residents that if you want to pay for overdue book fines, cash is good, credit cards are good, but Chuck E. Cheese tokens are not good. You heard right. The Peabody Institute Library in Danvers, Massachusetts posted on their Facebook page that the library has had a surge of people recently trying to pay their fines and use printing fees with tokens from Chuck E. Cheese.
Huh.
The library says the tokens are not legal tender and cannot be accepted. Oh, shocker there, huh? A bookkeeper says that she has counted 3 different Chuck E. Cheese tokens in one day, or different instances in one day, before realizing that they were not real money. If you don't know what Chuck E. Cheese is, get smart, okay? Realize what Chuck E. Cheese is, not real tender. Okay, so fair enough. No Chuck E. Cheese tokens to pay for your book fines.
That's,
By the way, how about the lady who took a while to... She was counting the tokens, and it wasn't until after they left, she was like, wait a minute. That's not real money.
Well,
who's this big mouse?
You could... It's still can be used as currency, though, right?
Well, if you're in Chuck E. Cheese, yeah, because that's kind of the official currency of the Chuck.
All right, coming up on the show this morning, Aaron Taylor will be with us next hour of CBS Sports. He was on the call for Vanderbilt, Middle Tennessee, and he'll have Mississippi State this weekend. We'll have Ben Leard and John Parker Wilson in the 8 o'clock hour, 8:20 and 8:40. Our Monday morning quarterback will be every Monday in the 8 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
And then Matt Zinitz of AL.com at 9:20 to update us on some of these Alabama injuries, see if those guys are expected back anytime soon or at all this season.
4 linebackers hurt in one game. I feel like that doesn't happen a lot.
Well, especially to that team. I mean,
That's a Tennessee thing. That's not a Bama
thing.
This
is new territory for Alabama. They haven't had to deal with a whole lot of injuries the last few years. Been very fortunate. We're back with more Cube Show right after this.